Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Our radio audience and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. But I think about this, you know, and I think about, I see this tide, this storm coming, and I just see it everywhere. I see it. God shows it to me in visions. He shows it to me in dreams. He shows it to me in his word. You can just look around. I mean, even a young kid could look around if they actually had discernment to see it's happening. And one of those things that's happening, words that was spoken out, and he talks about it in you know, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He says, when I send a plague amongst my people, that's what he says. God says that. We always talk about the next verse that says, if my people who are called by my name, but that comes first with, you know, me disciplining you.
Right.
And so that's the progression. It's sort of like the Hosea chapter 1 or
Joel 1
is like, when I send a plague and locusts and this type
that's
of thing.
Right.
Well, John Paul Jackson prophesied a word. You can see this. And he talked about several things happening. One was pestilence. You know, one was, you know, that pestilence was going to happen. And you think, well, how is that going to happen? Well, right now, this week, I believe it is this week, the CDC, who are supposed to be the best at handling diseases, got exposed to anthrax. 50 people. And the survival rate, according to ABC News, survival rate is like 80% by getting exposed to. If you get treated by antibiotics, it's like a 40% or something like that survival rate. The CDC had got the people who are so cautious, and it's just real weird. Mm. It's weird because, I mean, they know about diseases, and they said, oh, we thought it was dead.
If you know, they thought it was dead.
Well, you know, it's like a shark, you know. You still approach it with caution. It's like an alligator. You approach it with caution. If it's anthrax and it'll kill you, it's 80% chance it's going to kill you. Put some gloves on. But they didn't. You know, and you're seeing things like this. And then you're seeing, because that would be, if anthrax got loose, that would be like a plague or pestilence. But then you're seeing right now, intentionally, we are allowing illegal immigrants to come flooding over our borders. And it's not just in... A lot of people think, well, that's just around the border. Well, they realize, whoever's doing this realize that's what people think. So what we got to do then, we got to start putting them on planes and delivering these illegal immigrants to different places around the nation. But this is the issue. The reports are that some of them have tuberculosis. Some of them have different diseases that you would have if you don't have medical in your nation, medical treatment, but we would have too if we didn't have their shots and the things that we have to do when you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so by when you think about outbreaks, if you trace outbreaks, so like the bubonic plague, it started with one soldier, for example, then it went to two, then it went to three.
Yeah.
But now we have scattering all of these potential viruses and tuberculosis and all these things coming around the land, scattering. The possibility. The possibility of a widespread epidemic is very present just by looking at what they're doing right now and not even being concerned about it. We are talking about pestilence, believe it or not, and plagues. And we're looking at how reports are that they're expecting 280 something thousand, I believe it is, coming over the borders in the next year or so. They're hiring people to come. In January, by the way, they're actually advertising to hire people to come transport these illegal immigrants who have yet to come.
Wow.
To transport them to these different cities around the nation. And that's, you know, as a Christian, that's opportunity for us as a mission field. If we wouldn't go nowhere, the people are coming to us, so we can go. It's a great opportunity for us. But in regards to pestilence and plagues and sicknesses, that it doesn't take, it just takes one person who has an outbreak. That's why you see this swan flu and these different things going on. And next thing you know, you see everybody in China wearing a mask. It's because it just spreads that easy. And you can track it all the way back. But the thing about it is, like, so you're, why is this happening? You can do this, and this is what a lot of people's doing. They're actually blaming political parties. Or you can do this, you know, other people are just blaming people. They're just saying he's a bad guy, she's a bad woman, you know, whatever. And some people are blaming the economy. You know, some people are blaming everything, but few people are taking ownership, like the man that you hear quite often in our break segments, that he says, you know, it's my fault. It's mm-hmm. what I did in my life that's caused this. Dear God, forgive us. And so why would these, and I say this, I say that nothing happens outside of God allowing it to happen. I don't think, and I know that Lucifer does not have an upper hand on God. I really believe that Jehoiakim is where we're at right now, which is God set man in place to bring us to a place, to turn us over to everything we said we wanted, everything that we said we wanted. Think about this. Everything that we said we wanted, he says, you won't quail, I'll give it to you till he's coming out your nose. And right now it's like a fire hose of everything that people said they had to have as a rebellious teenager. They, you know, all those different things going on. It's like, it's just being downloaded rapidly. And that means to me that God is saying, fine, you know, you won't quail. You keep thinking about, you know, going back to the place of bondage, and it was Israel coming out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, and they're going, at least I want some loaves and some garlic and some hot sauce, Pat would say, and some, you know, some quail. And God brought them all the stuff that they wanted. He brought them everything that they wanted, and he brought a wind that came down and kind of gathered all this quail together for all these folks in the wilderness, and they went and ate so much quail, it was literally coming out their nose. They ate so much, is what he said. But then it says this, while the meat was in their teeth, God's anger burned against them. You know, so many people think, wow, I'm finally getting what I want. But you never bothered to find out, is that what God wants? Is that what God's will? And the thing is, he could be giving you over to it. And if you haven't yet heard, you need to hear, you know, is America under God's judgment? You need to hear that. You need to go to VFNTV.com and acquire that. Because it's just asking the question. I mean, nobody wants to. I mean, who wants to say that? But I'll tell you the truth, that if you are getting a 5-year sentence, you know, from a judge because you violated some crime, you could talk to that person. They would say, I'm under judgment. Because they are. The judge is going, you're going to get 5 years for this. I'm not talking about eternal judgment. I'm just talking about judgment. And there's three phases of judgment. He talks about it in Romans, New Testament, Romans chapter 1, and the progression of these three phases. And we are in the third phase of being turned over. Now, being turned over is sort of like saying that minimum force is necessary to get us to turn back to him. It's not turning us away. If he wanted to do that, he could just take the air away. He holds our hearts in his hands. It would just stop. He's wanting us to say, you know, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And not only to say that, but then to begin to follow him and leave our lifestyle of sin and the things that we did that was against his way. And people say, well, that wouldn't happen. God wouldn't. He wouldn't send pestilence. He wouldn't send a plague. And God, you know, just read his word. 81% of Christians in America who have Bibles do not pick them up, according to George Barna. So you can't say nothing. I just heard a congressman speaking to a commissioner at the White House this week, and he asked the man, he said, has any laws been broken in your agency? And he says, no, I don't believe there's any wrongdoing at all. And he says, has any laws been broken? And he said, I don't believe any wrongdoing. He's like, you know, what laws did you look at? Did you look at any laws and then compare what was being done, if anything was violated? And he goes, well, no, I didn't look at any laws. He says, well, how do you even know then if there was a law broken or not. And he kept on saying, I don't believe there's any wrongdoing. He's like, you didn't. This is, he's like, oh, he raised his voice. You didn't even look at the law.
Wow.
How are you even going to know?
Yeah.
Well, I just know the people. And it's like, that's how the church is today.
Wow.
The church is that way today. Nobody, 81% is not even picking it up. So they don't even, you don't even know what it's saying. And you're, and that's why we're talking to you. Maybe you're going to get the word this way, you know, through VFN TV. But let me tell you what the word of God says. Look at this. This will shock you in regards to pestilence. Because he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, let me get it here for you. He talks very specifically about this. He says, when I, this is God talking through his people. He says, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain. Okay, we got a drought all the way from Texas to the West Coast that's cracking slabs and foundations in Texas. Or command locusts to devour the land. In other words, all your crops and your jobs and everything's starting to be, you know, where's it was jobs. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people working, but they're working for as much money as they made in the 70s.
Right.
And so we're looking at that's taking place. And he's saying, when I do this, and then he even says, when I send a plague amongst my people, I mean, think about it. This is God sending a plague amongst his people. And somebody says, why would a loving, kind God do that? Because first of all, if we continue that path, we're going to be totally separated from him forever. And so his desire is for us to see the error of our ways and save us from eternal separation from him. He wants so much to be with you forever that he will allow hardship to come your way in hopes that it will lead you to a place of repentance. He tried kindness. I mean, nobody in America can't say that he didn't try kindness.
That's right.
That didn't work. Kindness didn't work. The richest, the top 3% in the world, whatever it is. You know, all that stuff. So kindness, somebody says, well, you know, we did kindness. We did PowerPoints, kindness. Anyway, so we did all that. It didn't work. We in the comfort and conveniences That's of right. life. And there's some great, great articles and segments on the torch. You got to get them. Go to the original tent of the church and just begin to explore that. You know, what does God really say about the church? And get in the word and abide. But this is what he says. He says, when things have, basically he's doing this when God, his people have gone astray, because right after he says, when I send a plague amongst my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I, God, will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. I mean, think about this. God's saying, I'm trying to position you so I can bless you. I'm trying to position you so I can forgive you. Right now, you don't even know you need forgiveness. I'm trying to get you to a point. Well, you know that outside of you having this experience with me, that you won't be with me in eternity. You will be away from me in eternity where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is his outreach to us. You know, somebody says, this is tough. Hell's much worse.
Mm-hmm.
Hell's much worse. And so his goal was, in the context of when I sent a plague amongst my people, was so that we would, our attention would be gotten and we'd say, hey, I'm your people. And so we can't blame it on the world, right? And we got to say, you know what? I was wrong, God. I'm going to get in the word. I'm not going to be like that commissioner who was being talked to by the Congress. And he was saying no laws are broken, but he didn't even, he professed to say he didn't. I mean, he's an intelligent man, but we're not going to get into that. But the church is doing that. I mean, people will talk to you for hours. And then finally you start saying, you know, are you saved? I'm like, no, I don't know. Or, you know, do you read your Bible? No, never read. I'm just too busy to read the Bible. But I heard it on a sign. I was driving by at 55 miles an hour. I saw a sign.
Mm.
If it wasn't for these signs in front of church buildings around America, we'd be really in trouble. Keep putting those signs on.
Big time.
That's the only message some of the guys are getting.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
At a high school here in Maryland, over the public address system, encourage students to be part of a gay and lesbian, using those direct words on the public address system in a public school.
You said that the key word there, though, and that's coming through the student club. They probably have a what they call Gay Straight Alliance at the school. Those are allowed under the Constitution and under what's called the Equal Access Act. The same right that gives students the right to have a prayer meeting or a Bible study group meet gives the same right for these other students to have their events, and they're allowed to use the public address system for the announcements. Now, those are announcements that are made through the school's mechanism, but they are from the students, so that's what's called student-led and student-initiated, and that speech is protected. But now the Bible Club needs to be given equal rights and equal access, so it works both ways there.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right?
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now, and the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so when you think about it, it's like, my goodness, so pestilence is coming, and we're watching these transport of human beings that are being used instead of, listen, let's just take care of them where they're at. Let's build hospitals where they're at, like missions. Let's go help their government change to treat their people better. Let's just don't use these children.
Right.
You know, and that's what's happened. It's being used. And we all love the children, and we should love everybody, and we want to help them. But you know, this is what happens when a plague is happening in a community. The first thing they do it on ships, they do it in communities, hospitals, whatever, they quarantine, which means they take that person who's carrying that virus and they pull them away from everybody else, and then they help try to cure that person. But they do not let the person go into the population, because that's how the plague spreads. Well, look what's happening. We're transporting folks, reportedly, you know, that have different viruses, and not every one of them, but just some of them have viruses, and they're reporting it. And I think it's just all part of the whole thing. You know, let them know they have virus. We don't care. And then they're carrying the people around and putting them in different places. It's like, it's a guaranteed outside the mercies of God,
right,
that this thing's going to kick off in regards to, we're going to have, it's going to be like the bubonic plague. It says, as mysteriously as it came in, it left, but it left with millions of people, I believe, dead on the face of the earth.
Wow.
So many people were dying during the bubonic plague that they ran out of caskets, that if a family member died in your house, they had to actually take the family member to the street and leave them in the street because everybody else in the household would be contaminated. Wow. This is in America, that everybody quit socializing with anybody because you didn't know whether you're going to get it or not. And it was just tragic. And it happened in America, happened across the world, but it happened in America. But God says, when I send a plague, it doesn't slip by. Things don't slip by God. We got to ask ourselves. And the thing about it is, okay, now, if he sends the locusts and sends the plague because we're in rebellion, and then we have the plague and the locusts and all this, and we repent, think about this. since we know this is how things happen and we're seeing a storm fashioned against us by God, we can repent now like Nineveh did. I mean, of all the lands to be having something in right now, Nineveh is in the news. Nineveh is in the news right this moment. That's what the northern Iraq. And either talking about this, I forget the name of the CC or whatever they're called. A group came down.
ISIS
came down and took over Nineveh. Mm. I mean, it's just like God's just shouting to us. But because we're not in the word, we're like that commissioner before Congress going, I don't believe we're doing anything wrong. But if we get in the word of God, it's like Nineveh's shouting to us. Persecution's shouting to us. Plagues and pestilence is shouting to us. And we're going to talk more about them and get back because I got good news for you. Because if you're with the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, he has a promise that he will protect you from these things. We're looking at God's word, and if you get, you've got to get, is America under God's judgment? You know, maybe I'll make it available to anybody who wants this, and you got to hear it. You got to hear, ask the question. So many people just jump on and go, no, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, it's like, well, what's your basis? Well, just no. They don't have any, right? They don't have any scriptural basis. They're not abiding with the Lord. They're not hanging out with people that do, but they speak with such authority. I mean, it seems like it's like Jude, the book of Jude, he says, these guys, you know, they argue all these points about everything and about things they don't understand. And the things they do understand, like unreasonable animals, this is the very things that destroy them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like a discussion of an argument, a different viewpoint. That's real healthy if there's something to it, if it's sourced, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you have, you know, what are you talking about? And the thing about it, we are in three phases of judgment. We've definitely passed the first phase. The first phase is, you know, not being grateful, not acknowledging God, not having a heart of gratitude. I mean, who's grateful? I mean, you find one grateful person and you want to give them everything you have. I mean, it's so rare in America to find somebody that's grateful. And I mean, you can love folks all day long in America, and it's like, okay, you owe that to me. Or, I mean, it's just weird.
Right.
There's no gratitude. We're like the top 3% of the world in regards to resources and finance, and you know, people are climbing over our borders to come in, and we're not grateful. We're not, you know, and it's like, okay, we've got that. He says, therefore, he turns them over to a particular to do things that ought not to be done, sexual sins. Mm-hmm. But then the next phase is another phase where all of a sudden we begin to just credit everything but God for what's going on.
And that's happening everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. The work of our hands and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
And you can tell that by 97% of people who profess to be Christians who go to a church gathering at least once every 2 weeks, 97% of them rob from God in the tithes and the offerings.
Yeah.
97%. That means 97% have violated that second phase because they're saying, I earned this money. God didn't bless my hands. He didn't bless me to put me in this place. And they're taking credit for it.
Yeah, huge arrogance. I mean, just...
check, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then the third phase is what you're seeing take place right now. You're seeing this huge open acceptance to any form of sexuality that people feel that they want to be able to have. And he's just giving the nation over to it, just like he did the first two phases of it. And me personally, I really believe that if you go and try to fight a fight that you yourself are in violation of the first two phases of that judgment, you know, they're going to eat your lunch because it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with they are our harvest, that we turned our backs on God, that we stopped preaching God's word. We started teaching other things from the pulpits that we shouldn't have told. We were okay with telling people, you don't need to read your Bible, 81%.
Right.
Of regular church attenders. We told people, you don't have to honor God with the tithe. You can rob from God and he'll still. We told them all these different things. Yeah. And it's like, so the third phase of that, and then there's the final phase of it is being turned over to a reprobate mind where we can't even reason anymore. And it's so if you try to go out and try to fight about it in a political way, if you try to go out and try to tell people to act right, they're going to eat your lunch because this is our discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to understand, and God loves every human being on the face of the earth, and he loves every American. And if you actually think that person is your problem, you know, you're going down. I mean, that's pride. Because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. This has nothing to do with folks who say, I don't want your Jesus, and I don't want to follow your God. I mean, that's, they made their choice.
Yeah.
We don't project on them what we want them to act like a Christian. We just go, that's your choice. And we still love them in hopes one day they would. But so here we are seeing this thing take place. And so it's like, my goodness, what's happening? Well, Psalms 91, I'm not going to read a whole Psalms 91, but it should encourage you, because he talks about pestilence right here. And we talk about abiding, abiding, abiding. We even have a plan for you, iabide.org. But he says in Psalms 91, he says, he who abides in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And when you think about abiding, when you're abiding with God, and you know, abiding means you're hanging out with him, you're listening to him, you're reading his word, you're hiding his word in your heart, you're conversating with God, prayer, you're talking to him, you're listening and doing what he says. In other words, you got a close relationship with God. That's called abiding with God. When you're doing that, you're like, you're under his wings. You're under his protection. You're in the shadow of the creator of the universe. Think about that. You're in God's shadow. Is that not cool? You're in the shadow of God when you abide with him. That's what we talk about. We're not trying to, you just need to abide. If you do anything, abide with the Lord. And you want to find out more about abiding, go to iabide.org. But he goes on to says, he says, that I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. And I want to be able to understand that, because we're such a blessed land today. We don't understand what refuge is, but refuge is a place that you can go to when everybody's against you.
Yeah.
Everybody's home should be a place of refuge. It's not, but it should be a place of refuge. There should be a place in your life, the place of refuge. But in God, no matter, even if you're in prison, like Miriam Ibrahim, even today, when they rearrested her again today, that she can actually be in a refuge in God, where she's protected in God. And look what God's doing already. And so we're believing that's going to break through. But you can have, no matter what's going on, and some of you are fearful, you know, you're watching all this stuff because you're trusting in your own strength. You're trusting in men and politics and Washington, D.C. But I got good news for you. You can trust in God, because he is faithful. And he says that he is your refuge and your fortress. When you think about a fortress, I know that when Pat and I were in Jerusalem, we see the city of David. I mean, they had these high walls. And it's just awesome walking up to the city. And it's at night, especially when the lights are on and you're walking up these high walls. Mm. And it's a fortress. Mm-hmm. And God is our fortress. And the thing about it is that he's our fortress by faith, our confidence, our surety, and our certainty. And finally, I want to say this before we come to an end here is, he says this. He says, surely, in verse 3, surely, he will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. He will save you from deadly pestilence. So if he has to deal with the people, if you're abiding with him and you're walking with him, he will protect you. He will save you from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. And it makes me think about the four living creatures before the throne of God who are covered in feathers, who fly around the throne crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He will cover you in feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the dark, nor the plague that destroys at noonday. Our God is a mighty God. What's happening right now is maybe the answer to your prayer. You're saying, I wish more people would make a decision to follow God. I wish more people would repent and turn from their wicked ways. Like, this is how it happens.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you, though this is happening, if you're walking with the Lord, if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, your faith needs to be your protection, your faith in this reality of Psalms 91. The faith in the reality, when he talks about it, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, listen, he says, your faith is your shield, which protects you from all the arrows of the evil one. You got to have confidence. God doesn't just come down against your will and protect you. You have confidence that he'll protect you. You have confidence that you're in the shadow of God. You have confidence when you abide with him that no matter what happens in the economies of the world, that God will bless your economies. Listen, there is a storm being fashioned, and you want to be on the right side of this. And you want to encourage other people to say, you know what? We don't have to wait to get so bad that we were limping. We can actually say, you know what? Let's repent now. Listen, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, guess what? Just like Nineveh, God will change his plans. If you want to make that decision today, I invite you to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Call out to him. Cry out to him. As a matter of fact, you can even go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories, how we are on the journey, how we met God through his son, Jesus Christ. You can do that too.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, VFNTV.com, where you can find everything that you ever wanted to know about VFN TV and the daily video program, and so much more. Also, the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand corner. Go ahead and select it. With over 3,000, Pat, 3,000 highlights that are available for you so that you can just search and look and share and pass. A lot of times, the torch allows us to add more to our conversation. We have pictures. We have videos. Mm-hmm. We have graphs sometimes. And just allows you to take more time to really go deeper because we only have a limited amount of time on air. But the torch allows you to just get all the related resources and all the related articles and allows you to go so much deeper. Also, we have different tabs for you under the VFN Torch where you can look up prophecy, all the prophetic words that have been shared, and there have been quite a few. We have words, wisdom moments. We have original intent, and we have a new one that I'm very excited about, Third Great Awakenings. That's what we're believing for. We're here keeping a conversation light. We're here to have a conversation and with hopes and prayers and belief that a third great awakening is going to touch our nation and the pendulum is going to swing back. Instead of hearts and minds and actions that are turned away from God, hearts are going to be turned automatically to God and on fire. Mm. So thank you for being a part of this conversation and thank you for being part of a movement of keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. And we want to keep Jesus on our minds always. Because he, my goodness, he is the lifter of our soul. We love him, and we just want to do everything that we can to make him famous in the world today.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
By the grace of God, we're going to talk about today how love for Jesus is the foundation for any work that we will ever do for him. You know what I mean? Yeah, we have to be in love with him. You know, you can love something or someone, but there's quite a difference when you are in love, you know? Mm-hmm. And we want to be in love. We have so much to be in love about. And I think that we don't sometimes meditate and take the time to pause on the goodness of who he is. You know, oftentimes when you go back and you think about certain relationships in your life and you review and you start seeing some of the encounters and some of the things that you experience, some of the highs and some of the lows, and you review them, you realize, wow, man, I a sense of gratitude, love gets rekindled for that person or people in your life, and you realize, man, this is pretty intimate. This is pretty good. This is, and all of a sudden, there's a warmthness that occurs in your heart again for the people that have impacted you in that way. Well, the same is true when we have a relationship with the Lord. We are to remember the wonders of the Lord. We are to meditate on his goodness. We are to enter his courts with Thanksgiving. And one of the greatest ways that you can be so filled with the majesty and the awesomeness of God is to recount all of the ways of how you're grateful for Him. I mean, you can spend an hour. You can spend over an hour just thanking Him for everything that He has done to you, for you, and through you.
Changes your perspective.
Completely, doesn't it? Completely. And there's something about gratitude that's so important. There's something about gratitude that just begins to open you up. But, you know, I was abiding in Revelation, and basically, you know, it's amazing. I love the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible, and it's the revelation of Jesus. And in the second and in the third chapter of Revelation, it's pretty interesting. You know, we find that Jesus reveals a few things here. You know, there's a pattern that you'll find. He kind of first says who he is. Then he normally, you know, what good he sees the church doing, because it's the seven churches, right? The first, you know. And then what they need to fix, you know, what's wrong. And then you find that with each church, he offers a reward for those that overcome. He offers a reward. And this is really, really interesting. But when we look at, you know, Revelation 2, the Church of Ephesus, we notice a few things, right? This is amazing to me, but it says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the golden lampstands. Oh. He says, I know your deeds, okay? Your hard work, check, and your perseverance. I mean, these are people that had deeds that were good. Mm-hmm. Their actions were right. Mm-hmm. These were folks that worked hard. You know, a lot of people, you know, love to enjoy the things of God, but they don't want to invest any kind. It's going to require your life. It's going to require hard work. Right. We're working hard. It requires hard work. And he knows your perseverance. And perseverance is so important, because no matter where you are in your relationship with God, you're going to need to persevere. This is a real spiritual battle. If you have not noticed this already, here's a clue. The enemy, Satan, does not like you.
No.
And the minute that you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he wants to steal you away. Mm-hmm. He wants to steal you away. And so you have to persevere. You have to press on, press through, keep on, you know, moving forward, because he's trying to do everything he can to hinder you, to entangle you, and to stop you from going hard after God. Mm. That's what he wants to do. And so this church is one that perseveres. They're saying, hey, perseverance means that you're actually pressing through something that's difficult. It's not, you know, that's the definition. You're pushing through something that's pushing back against you. But you're going to keep going, right? Mm-hmm. Then he says, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. And you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. So it's like, man, these folks are serious. These folks are really, you know, they're the real deal. And, you know, what's important, when we start looking at that, is that nothing escapes the eyes of God. Everything is before him. He knows all things. He sees all things. You know, he knows our thoughts before we're even going to think about them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't escape him, right? And so he talks about all the things he knows, but this is what's really amazing. Jesus clearly saw that the church was working. He saw their deeds. He saw all of this stuff, but yet he had this one thing against them. Here's another clue. It's not good when Jesus has something against you. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen all your perseverance. I've seen that you're here. You're going after your church that's you know, making it happen. You're preaching the gospel. You're serving folks. You're loving on people, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But he says, yet I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love.
Wow.
That word forsaken means abandoned. You've abandoned your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Remember the height. Remember that place of intimacy. We're talking about hunger and passion. Remember the time that you were passionate for me. Remember the time that you were hungry for me. Remember the time that although your body was physically wasted, you wanted to stay up a little later just to be with me and my word, right? Mm. That you wanted to go harder after me, even though you were invited to go out and have a meal and do something else. You really wanted to, you declined all that stuff and said, I want to spend time with the Lord. I want to just read my Bible right now. I just want to be amongst my brothers and sisters that are going after him. You know what I mean? So he says, you have this one thing. I have this one thing against you. You've left your place of intimacy and that place for love. And this was interesting. I saw this. A friend of mine, Ryan Bruss, posted this, and I thought this was so cool. I saw this the other day, and I think it just resonates with everything that we're saying here today. It says, passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work.
Mm.
I'm gonna say that again. Passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work. And, you know, you're working hard and you're doing things for God and all this stuff is great and wonderful. But where's the passion for the Lord?
Yeah.
Where's the passion for him?
Yeah, it reminds me of what Jesus also said in Matthew 7, which is real similar to what he just said in Revelations. He says, many will come to me on that day.
Mm.
He says, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? Didn't we perform these miracles? Didn't we, you know, do this awesome radio program? Didn't we do, you know, whatever God's called you to do?
Right. Did you love?
Yeah, exactly. But then he says, but then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you.
Mm.
In other words, you never spent time with me. You didn't abide with me.
Wow.
I don't know who are you?
Who are you?
You did all this stuff, but I don't know who the heck you are.
Mm.
Isn't that wild?
That's scary. That puts a fear of God in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get caught up and lost in the work and forget who you're doing it for.
Yeah.
Right. If you think about the one who is love, are we loving? Because we can so do something like you're saying. It's like the foundation of what we're doing has to be love. It has to be rooted in love. And so often it's like that's been a constant, like you're saying, just the fear of the Lord. So it's like, why am I doing this? Because if I'm doing it for love, it doesn't matter how it's received. It doesn't matter what's said about it or not. Because if we're doing it for Jesus, if we're doing it in the root of love,
right. We're
just choosing to love.
Yeah. Your passion, you know, for God is there's your fuel to just keep moving and doing things for him. You know, you're just in love with him. So there's no cost, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I mean, there is a cost. Don't get me wrong. But it's almost like, man, I'm glad to pay the cost. This means like nothing to me because I'm just so in love for you. And that's what love does. Love causes you to pay, you know, exorbitant amount of prices. When you think about a parent and what a parent is willing to sacrifice for a parent that loves their child, right? A parent that truly loves your child, they go through the extraordinary lengths. They make amazing sacrifices. It costs them their time, their energy.
Everything.
It costs them everything to really love on that child and be there for that child and help that child develop and grow. Right?
Yeah.
To a godly young man, godly young woman, it costs you everything.
Yeah.
It really does. And so with that, you don't mind paying the price. What parent? What parent says, well, you know, it cost me my life that he's a godly son or daughter, you know? And I'm still upset about that because I could. No, your parents are going to say that. They're going to say, I'll pay it all over again. I'll sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice again because it was worth it. Because it was my love for my son, it was my love for my daughter that you know, fueled me to do what I, you know, did and say what I had to say and make whatever sacrifices were necessary. Because love was the driving force of what motivated me to do.
Right. Yeah, right.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I remember when I had to hire folks for employment and fire folks, and I just never liked doing that.
Yeah,
I just felt so uncomfortable, man. Yeah. I would stay up all night. I mean, it was the most difficult thing in the world for me to do. I mean, just could not do. I was horrible at it. And I think I was more nervous than the person. It was like, it's okay. It's all right. I understand. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. And I used to work with a gentleman at one time. He was like the general manager at one place I worked. And I was another manager. And we would, we had to, you know, fire some folks. He would have me come in the office with him, and we would speak to the employee. And he had such an amazing way, or interesting, say amazing, say interesting way of
unique.
Yeah, unique. That's a good way.
To
unique
say the least.
Way of letting people go, firing them. When he would say, like, Pat, listen, I brought you in here to the office. I want to talk about your performance, and I just want to let you know that we appreciate your efforts here at the job and what you're doing. But as of right now, we're terminating your employment. And we appreciate you giving a good effort and trying, and thank you very much. And if you need anything else, you know, please feel free to let us know. But, thank you very much. And he'd walk out.
Short
and
sweet.
And they look at me like, did I just get fired? I'm like, yeah.
Yes,
and they were like, okay. You know, and it's like, wow. Just like that. And he was able to do it. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, my goodness.
Smooth. Wow. That's so smooth.
And it was interesting. And the key phrase here is that we're terminating your employment. Not you. The employment. So they're able to save face because they can say, hey, you know.
Hey, that's right. Hey, they got rid of my job. It wasn't me after all.
I feel so much better that I didn't get fired.
It was my employment.
But
my employment got terminated.
My job got removed from me.
Oh my goodness.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It's amazing because, like you're saying, that when you really see all the things that, like you're saying, it's just, it doesn't matter. You lay down, like you're saying, we've talked about just serving, the love, and it's just like, recently what God's been showing me about Paul and so many of the awesome things that Paul was used to do and the hardships that he went through, he didn't care. He understood the fact that, you know, this is my service. I
was called. Yeah. This is my lot in life. Yeah. I love him.
And to me, that's such a perspective that comes from love, because we were talking about that recently, is he had such a love encounter with Jesus, is that even in his brokenness and his utter need for Jesus, God still loved him. And through that love encounter, he was able to do so much and go through so much persecution. But he was like, I feel an honor that I'm even called to serve him.
Right.
And it's just like, That's that love perspective, because when we begin to do things from love, it totally revolutionizes what it is that we're doing, because it just doesn't matter, because we're all doing it for him.
Right.
Absolutely. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about love being the absolute foundation for any work that we do for God. It all starts and it's all about love for him. Like we were just talking about love for God. And this awesome quote that says, passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work. Mm-hmm. See, that's the order. The order is passion for God first. And so you see workers, I mean, working is good for God. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing something for God, that's a beautiful thing. But here's the difference. Lovers work because of love.
Mm-hmm.
That's why lovers work because they are filled with the love for God, and they know that themselves are, you know, that they are loved.
Yeah.
But workers work to earn love. And we don't need to, you know, we're not earning anything with God. He's already done everything that you know, we need.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to love him.
That's right.
You know, enjoy him.
Mm.
And when we enjoy him in his presence and who he is, then we just can't help but to do something for him. He's like, I've got to do something for you. Can I do anything for you?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to be a gatekeeper in your house. What can I do for you? Right. Because I'm so filled with love and gratitude. See, that's the difference. When love is in, it's like, whatever.
Right. Like,
clean this, pick up that. What, I mean, right.
Pass
what,
me the broom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me do anything. I just want to be a servant. And that's what minister is. A minister is a servant of the Lord. He wants to serve God. She wants to serve God with everything that they have in any capacity that there is. They just want to show some sort of gratitude and says, if this life, if whatever this little frail life can do for you, if you would allow me the privilege, please. And that's you know where we need to be. But it was interesting how we saw all this stuff that the church in Ephesus was doing. And you look at, you know, a lot of the American church is like, seemingly on surface, everything looks like, wow, all this stuff is happening and the gospel's being preached and people are being touched and, you know, all this stuff. But where's the love? You know, is there passion behind that for him, for the Lord? And this is a reminder to us not to abandon that. Right. Not to forsake that, not to give that up. And he, this is what he says, though. He says, look, remember the heights to which you have fallen.
Yeah.
Look back. Look back at that time. And maybe you're listening to us or seeing us today, and you're like, you know, man, I remember that. If your reference to when you were the hottest for God was when you got saved 20 years ago, you know, that's a clue. If your reference to, oh yeah, that time of the Lord was 5 years ago, a month ago. I mean, that can change. It says, remember what go back to that place. Go back to where you were. It says, remember the height from which you have fallen and do what? Repent.
Right.
Repent and do what? Repent and do the things you did at first. Do what you did before. What was happening in your life? What were you doing? And you realize that, yeah, at that time of my life, I was probably more humble. I was probably more desperate.
Yeah.
You know, I had greater need for God. Nothing else mattered because we needed to hear God. So we focused our life and our family. Mm-hmm. You know, we told our family we couldn't do these things. You know, I know that everyone's going here and doing that, but right now, we just need to focus our 100% attention on the Lord. We're going to spend time in the Word of God as a family. You know, all these different things.
Yeah.
What were you doing? What were you doing?
Right.
And you're almost sure that if you start inventory your life, you know, I've had opportunity to speak with folks. You inventory your life, you realize somewhere down that path, you got tripped up. Mm-hmm. Somewhere down that path, you got blessed, and maybe you were overtaken by the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now work has overtaken your ability to really spend time with God the way you want it to, or you got overtaken by something else, and it's like everything else crowded out that passion for him. So he says, repent. Stop doing what you're doing because it ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue to do work for God without a passion for him, then what becomes is just religious works.
Yeah.
And God's like, you know, I really don't need that. You know, you're doing stuff, you know, but it's like, you know, when someone's really doing something for you because they love you or because it's like, this is the obligation. I know what I'm supposed to do.
They're going
to
remind you what they did for you later.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm just kind of doing it. This is what I'm supposed, as opposed to, man, Steve, I really want to do this for you.
Just because.
Yeah. Because I love you. You know, I want to do this for you.
And you've said before too, as far as just, you know, questioning, okay, why is it the reason why we're doing what we're doing? And so, like you're saying, you know, we can, somewhere along the lines, we've gotten tripped up. I don't know, me personally, too. It's just like, in that beginning moment of our salvation, it's just like, I'm desperate. I'm just, all of a sudden, you realize how much you need God, and you're hungry for God. And, you know, pride can kind of begin to creep in, and all of a sudden, we begin to lean on what we know or what we've learned instead of the God that revealed it to us, or Jesus that taught us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, don't lean on what you've learned. Don't lean on what you can do. Lean on the one who made it known to you.
It's so powerful. Exactly. Because you know that something's wrong there when you begin to, you know, dust your Bible off, maybe you begin to start reading it And you automatically assume that you know what the scriptures are saying or what God's saying to you that day because you've read that story before.
Right.
Oh, I've heard that message preached before. Oh, I know the five loaves, the two fish. No, no. The word's not fresh to you anymore. Your heart's not soft anymore. You're not eagerly anticipating what God's going to reveal and unveil to you afresh this morning. Yeah, I've read this 1,000 times, but Lord, you're God. Yeah. You can do anything. Here I am. Speak to me. Mm-hmm. Stir my heart. But this is what happens. He says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand.
Yeah.
I'm going to remove your lamp. The lampstand is to give light. Mm-hmm. And if you have no intimacy and you have no light, there's no need for the lampstand. Listen, I'm encouraged to say, let's go back. Let's return to our first love. Let's remember the heights of which we have fallen, and let's return to a place where we can be passionately in love for God, serving him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and saying, God, here I am. I want to know you more. I'm not satisfied. I don't want to just love you. I want to fall in love with you more and more and more. Listen, you only have one chance to walk on this earth. No one's promised tomorrow. Seize the day. Seize the moment and say, God, I'm not satisfied with religion. I'm not satisfied with just doing stuff. I want to just live for you and love you with everything that's in my being. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it, and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast. Click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to vfntv.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.